Welcome, everyone. My name is Ralph, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today for our online service. If you are new or joining us for the first time, welcome, and thank you for being with us. Today, we continue our series, Life with Jesus, as we learn from the Sermon on the Mount. If you've missed any of our previous teachings in this series and would like to find them, you can go to our website or download our Christian Assembly LA app. We want to thank you for your giving and your ongoing generosity. The easiest way to give is online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. If you haven't already done so, sign up to give online through either the app or our website. To mail your offering, you can make your check payable to Christian Assembly Church and send it to the address below. Also, we want to share about our pantry and prayer efforts. You, our church family, have donated 2,000 bags of groceries, which has allowed us to serve over 5,000 people. So thank you so much for your generosity. And for those of you who have received groceries, we just want you to know we love you and hope it has blessed you in this season. Our next prayer and pantry and prayer is happening this coming week. If you'd like to donate groceries, you can do so on Monday. CA also has our Grocery Benevolence Fund, which is designed to help those who are part of our church who need help paying for groceries and essentials due to a job loss or loss of income. You can go online for more information on this or our pantry and prayer. And now let's pray for our service. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word together. Lord, would you bless us with eyes to see and ears to hear the things that you specifically have for each one of us today. And God, would you seal those things in our hearts by the power and working of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's worship together.
Greetings, everybody. We invite you to join us in worship as we join with creation. We join with all heaven, singing all creatures of our God and King. Here we go.
And all creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Hallelujah. With golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh praise him, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And thou rushing wind that art so strong, that sail in heaven along. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou rising morning, praise, rejoice. Ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. all creatures here below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All right, sing with us. Here we go. Trust you,
Lord, help me trust you, trust you, oh, trust you, Lord, help me trust you wherever you lead.
Help me praise you,
Lord, help me praise.
Us follow you. That is our prayer. Well, it's no secret that a lot of us have experienced a lot of loss in this year and in this season. And a while back, Eileen wrote a song. She was crying out in desperation. I really rather say I believe she received a song from the Lord. And I just believe it's going to really bring healing and hope and touch somebody in the deepest place. She sings it. I just pray that you would just, with a sense of faith and hope, let God touch you as she sings.
And what do you say? What do you say when all I feel is pain? What do you say? What do you say when I can't see your face? I hear you say, I'm the God who's close to the brokenhearted, and I'm the God who weeps with those who weep, and I'm the God who knows suffering and pain, and I'm the God who's always gonna stay. Lord, that's what you say. That's what you say. But what do you say? Jesus, I need to know, what do you say when all I feel is rage? God, what do you say? What do you say when all I hear are lies? You say to me that I'm the God who's close to the brokenhearted. Yes, I'm the God who weeps with those who weep. And I'm the God who suffering and pain. Yeah, I'm the God who's always gonna stay. Lord, that's what you say. I heard it when you said it, Lord. That's what you say. We worship you. Not for the things that you do. Not for the blessings you give. Though you've been faithful and true, with mercies brand new. But because there is no one above you, then just because you are.
We are.
every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes, and Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name.
Church, I want to invite you to join me in a time of prayer. And as we do this, I'll lead us, but I invite you to pray out loud with me, or of course you can pray silently, but don't just watch me pray, join with me. And so God, as we've sung, blessed be your name, now we pray it. We bless your name. God, we thank you for your word and for your spirit. Lord, we pray for every first responder. Even now, my heart runs to our firefighters that are fighting different fires. Keep them safe. Lord, give them the ability to contain those fires. Lord, we pray for every frontline worker, every grocery store worker and trucker, every pastor who's encouraging people, not just our pastoral team at CA, but other churches even across the city and nation. We pray for every medical professional who's caring for people as your healing agent. We pray that you would help them, Lord, and give them wisdom. Lord, as we turn to the fall, we pray for all of our schools, every parent, every student, every teacher, every administrator. Lord, help them learn well in this season. Give them grace for one another, we pray. Lord, we do pray for those who are sick, those who are struggling with cancer or COVID or other situations. We pray that you would heal them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Stories I've heard recently of people who've gotten better from COVID, people who have even beaten cancer. And so, Lord, we pray we'd hear even more of that. Lord, we pray for all of the business leaders, small business leaders, large business leaders who are dealing with economic challenges, wanting to keep people employed. Give them creative ways to do that, to deliver the services that are of value to our community. We pray against fear in this time, Lord. Let us not be afraid. God, your word tells us to pray for all of our government officials. So we do pray for President Trump and all the members of Congress, all of the members of the Supreme Court. Lord, we lift up Governor Newsom and Mayor Garcetti. We lift up every health official who's trying to figure out the best way forward. Lord, we pray for those that don't know you in government to come to know you, that the lost would be saved. Those that do know you, that they would find strength from your word and spirit. But Lord, for all of them, we pray that you would give them wisdom and humility as they serve and lead. Lord, we pray for the unity of the church. Jesus, just as you prayed that your people would be one, so we pray that as well. Lord, we pray that you would sanctify us by your word. That's what you pray, Jesus. We join you in that prayer. Even as we're about to hear the preaching of your word, give us hearts that are tender to hear your word. And now for all of us, I want to invite you to join me in praying out loud the Lord's Prayer. And so that we can all use the same version, we're going to put it up on the screen and you can join with me as we pray aloud. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, let us continue to be a praying church, as I know you are. Be praying for one another. Be praying for all the different people and areas that God's word commands us to pray for. And let's do that in humility and faith, in love and hope, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we have four teams that serve at the Prayer and Pantry. We have a prayer team that welcomes every car and basically wants to care for their relational and spiritual needs when people are so isolated during this pandemic. And then we also have our pantry team, which loads the groceries that have been donated into the cars that pull in. We have our parking team that really organizes all the waves of cars that come. It seems to be really busy at some points and then really slow at others. And so they kind of make sure that everybody enters and exits the parking lot safely. And our last team is the pedestrian team, because we knew that there would be families that take the bus or don't have a car. And we wanted to make sure that we had a place for them to receive groceries as well.
You know, as part of the pantry team, I don't always necessarily get to interact directly with the people that drive up. So, you know, what's been really interesting is since this has started, almost every time there is a moment in the service during the pantry that a car might pull off to the side, where there might be a moment of deeper prayer and conversation to be had with the volunteers and whatnot. And it's been really interesting to see that not only the people that come in, but the volunteers themselves will sometimes leave that moment or the car, you know, sometimes in tears or sometimes just really moved, and just observing that from kind of the distance has been really moving to me, and just encourages me and gives me that second wind to kind of keep going through the night.
One story that stands out so wonderfully well. I was praying with my prayer team partner, and a woman had come through the line and had asked for prayer about a job. She was losing her job, and she's a young mother with children who are pretty young. I think she had just had a child who was under 1 year old and another one, and so she was really feeling concerned. And so we prayed. We prayed that the Lord would provide, and just had great faith that he would. And then the next time the pantry and prayer happened, I was paired with the same prayer partner, and she came through our line again. And it was so amazing, because she said, "Oh my goodness, I was hoping that I would get, you know, to pray with you again. I just wanted you to know that I got a new job." So that was incredible. It's so exciting to hear that testimony and how impacted she was by the prayer.
To my church family, so great to be with you. To any guests or visitors, welcome. So glad that you are joining us today. My name is Bo Flores, and in addition to being on the teaching team here at Christian Assembly Church, I am the lead pastor of our Fusion, which is our 18 to 35-year-old community here at Christian Assembly. And you know, this season of COVID has been hard on so many people, including young adults of the city of Los Angeles. And yet, yet, in the midst of all these hard and difficult things going on, there are so many stories of God working in the lives of young adults in our city. Stories of young adults finding friends and discovering more of God's purpose for their lives in the midst of this hard time. And Fusion gets to be a part of so many of those stories. We have been learning together in Fusion that Jesus isn't distant. And there are so many cool examples of people experiencing that reality. We have a morning Bible study that meets Monday through Friday, 5 days a week at 8 a.m. on Zoom. And between 15 and 20 young adults from our city and actually around the country joined that Bible study. We've met for over 110 mornings reading scripture together. We have life groups that are continuing to meet and do life together, whether in a physically distanced gathering in person or on Zoom and social media. We have a group that meets on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. in Pasadena. We fill up a front lawn and worship Jesus together and watch the Christian Assembly service together. We have social events, these fun places that people can come and just hang out, get free coffee, see each other from 6 feet away with a mask on. We did a prayer walk recently as we prayed God's kingdom into our neighborhood and our city. And I just want to say that if you are a young adult, somewhere between the ages of 18 to 35, and you want more information, or you want to be connected to some of the great things happening in Fusion, will you email me? You'll see my email on the screen right now, and I'm going to ask you to just email me. It can be a short, simple email saying, I want more information, or I want to get connected. I will personally email you back and begin to walk with you toward a point of connection with other people and discovering God's plan and purpose for your life. Well, I am so excited to continue in our series, Life with Jesus, as we work our way through the Sermon on the Mount, which we find in Matthew chapters 5-7. And in this series, we are looking at the life that Jesus describes as being a kingdom-ready disciple. What does it mean to be a kingdom-ready disciple as we see Jesus teach us? Jesus' central message in his ministry was, repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is near. It has come near to you. And after preaching this message in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus then gives us the Sermon on the Mount. And in this amazing sermon, Jesus shows us what it looks like when the kingdom of heaven touches earth and enters a life. And we come today to the final portion of what is known as the Beatitudes, or the blessings. And something to note on the Beatitudes is that they build on each other. As you experience the reality of the first of the Beatitudes Jesus teaches, it builds something in you that allows the latter Beatitudes to be true of you as well. All that to say, if you weren't able to listen to the first two, the previous two messages in this series, I want to encourage you, go back, make sure to hear those teachings as we've been working our way through the Beatitudes. So we turn now to Matthew chapter 5, verses 9-12. And in it, Jesus says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray together as we prepare to dive into God's word. So Jesus, we thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. We thank you for the Beatitudes. We thank you for the upside down reality of life in your kingdom. And I pray now that you would teach us through your word, what does it mean to be a kingdom ready disciple? And would you lead us into that in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a nation, we are in a season, I believe, to be ripe for conflict and judgment and disagreeing with each other. You take the coronavirus, COVID-19, and all of the opinions that come with it, masks or no mask, hydroxychloroquine or no hydroxychloroquine, everyone's use of different numbers or the same numbers to prove very different points and why their position is right. You add in the church and people's opinions on whether or not churches should be gathering in person or continuing to remain digital and social distance, and you're in sin if you are gathering, you're in sin if you aren't gathering. You add in the gravity of racism and racial reconciliation, which has been brought to the forefront of our lives and our media and our news feeds over the last few months. Oh, and don't forget the election season that we are in as our country prepares to decide who will be our president for the next 4 years. You take all of that, you mix it up, you put it on Facebook, and well, many of you know the outcome. There have been a few times in the last few weeks that I have made the mistake of scrolling through the comments on Facebook, on posts of people debating these topics. And let's just say that the overall outcome of those messages was not one of love. And I'm not above this myself. I've actually decided to take a break from Facebook for the next few months until the election is over, because I know what's going to be happening on social media, specifically Facebook, over the next few months. And I know it's not going to be healthy for my soul to be a part of it. I think Jesus's words in the Beatitudes that we read today are perfect for the season that we are in. So let's move through this passage verse by verse. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." If you remember Tom's teaching from a few weeks ago, the word used for blessed is the Greek word makarios. And while it's a tough word to translate, a close word in English for us is the word congratulations. It's a different word than the word used for blessing in terms of like praying a blessing over somebody. Makarios is actually more of a greeting, and it's something that you would say to a person on a momentous occasion, the birth of a child or getting that promotion in your job that you really wanted. Congratulations, Makarios, on this exciting thing. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus does this really unexpected thing where he says, congratulations, Makarios, and then describes things that you would not expect to congratulate somebody for. Makarios, congratulations, you are poor in spirit, you are destitute in spirit, and the kingdom of heaven is yours. Makarios, you are grieving and mourning, and you will be comforted. And using that same word and the same technique, Jesus goes on to say, Makarios, congratulations, you who are peacemakers, because you are children of God. Why? Why are those who make peace called children of God? Well, I think there's multiple ways to think about it, but the big thing I want us to talk about today is that because children share the character of their parents. My wife, Blake, and I have 3 children. We have a daughter and 2 boys, and they all demonstrate who we are, what we look like, how we act for better or worse, and what we value. See, our character is on display in our children. It's always such a bummer when one of my kids say something that they're clearly not allowed to say, but they clearly heard it from one of their parents. It's like, man, I have got to talk to my wife, Blake, and tell her to stop speaking like that in front of the children. No, it's me. It's almost always me. However, it's also so encouraging to hear my kids repeat something that we value. I was filming a video at my house for a project for Christian Assembly several weeks ago, and my 3-year-old shepherd wanted to be interviewed. And in his interview on his own, this is what he had to say.
My name is Shepherd.
How old are you?
3.
Yeah, what do you like to do?
I love building with you, and I love building with Austin and Mom and Weston. And they live at my home.
Do you like your new house?
Yeah, and Jesus is the Christ and the God, and Jesus is the best.
Now, my wife and I have lots of flaws as parents, and we certainly owe a debt of gratitude to Kids Church for teaching Shepherd and my other kids that memory verse. But we talk about Jesus a lot in our house. Blake and I have committed our lives to following and becoming like Jesus. We are not perfect, but it's part of our character. And there are moments when our character is reflected back to us in our children, and it always brings us such joy. Jesus here tells us that you put on full display the character of God when you create peace. When you are a peacemaker, you are reflecting to the world what God is like. Notice he doesn't say peacekeepers. He isn't referring to those who are just like, shh, shh, don't argue at the dinner table. Don't talk about it. Here he says those who create peace. Those are children of God. Here Matthew uses a certain Greek word for peace. And the word that he uses in Greek, it's the Greek translation of the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is so important. Shalom means more than the absence of conflict. Shalom means peace, but in the sense of completeness or wholeness. Shalom means safety. Shalom means well-being. Solomon, King Solomon in the Old Testament, brings shalom to the temple when he puts that final stone in place and completes the building of it. That building now has shalom. In Proverbs, you bring shalom to a broken relationship when you restore it and make it right. It's not just not fighting, it's fixing what's wrong. It's the idea of taking what is broken or lacking in our world and in people's lives and restoring it, healing it, making it right. There are shalom makers who are going to work to see systemic racism brought to an end so that people of all ethnicities experience the shalom of Jesus in their lives. There are shalom makers going to work to see modern day slavery brought to an end so that the marginalized and victims experience the shalom of Jesus in their lives. There are people working so that the sick experience the shalom of Jesus. There are people working so that the homeless experience the shalom of Jesus. I think about the friends I have who are fostering children, who are coming out of the most horrific and painful living situations and family situations. And my friends, they create these loving, safe homes where these children are welcomed and accepted. When they have a warm and healthy meal, when they are able to bathe and wear clean clothes, when they lay their heads down at night and they are safe, those kids are experiencing the shalom of God in their lives. Shalom makers go to work. And our model for this is Jesus. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace or the Prince of Shalom. Ephesians says that Jesus, he is our peace. Colossians chapter 1 says this, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, shalom, through his blood shed on the cross. See, shalom was provided for us through the blood of Jesus. In Jesus, we see not an absence of conflict, but instead a purpose and intent and a work done to restore humanity and the world back to wholeness and completeness. Shalom makers recognize relational divides and go to work. They do the work needed to have that relationship be restored because God intends for humanity to be at shalom with each other. Republicans and Democrats are meant to be at shalom with each other. People of different ethnicities are meant to be at shalom with each other. Different generations are meant to be at shalom with each other. And when Jesus says this, when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, you need to know this was controversial See, in the context when this was spoken, a peacemaker was not a highly revered person. Imagine you are a first century Jew hearing Jesus teach this on the side of a mountain in the Galilee. And as Jesus is speaking on being a peacemaker, down in the distance from your vantage point, you see a group of Roman soldiers marching around your lake. And all you think is, when is the Messiah going to show up and declare war on our oppressors? They were not expecting a shalom-making, a peacemaking king. They were expecting a war chief. And Jesus shows up and says, in my kingdom, we create shalom in our lives and in the lives of others. Jesus absolutely changes the game with this. And then he goes on in verse 10. To say, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Again, congratulations, Makarios, when you are persecuted because of righteousness. The word righteousness here is more than just being good. It indicates an entire orientation of life directed at God and his will for you and for the world. Those with righteousness here are those who live a life that is so countercultural that they begin to stand out from the world around them. And that causes the world to judge and persecute them. Persecution meant something very different to the original audience than it does to us today. This is an audience Jesus is speaking to that has seen Jewish revolts put down against the Romans in mass crucifixions around the Galilee area. A message has been sent by Rome through this. There is one kingdom you need to be concerned about, and it is Rome. And there is one king you need to be concerned about, and his name is Caesar Augustus. And then Jesus shows up and he declares, there is a new kingdom here, and there is a new king. And this kingdom will cause you to reorient everything in your life toward God's will. And when you do that, expect persecution. When that happens, when persecution comes because you have decided to point your life toward God's kingdom, Makarios, congratulations, because the kingdom of heaven is yours. That phrase "is yours," it doesn't really mean ownership. It's more about possession. See, God is still king, but you have possessed, you have received, you have experienced the goodness of God's kingdom through your persecution. In America and in the West, persecution looks very different than what this original audience would have experienced it to be. There are places in the world where it still is that way, where following Jesus is a threat to your very life. For us, it's more of a social persecution. To stand up for righteousness, to reorient your life towards God's will and reign, it might result in a social death, but rarely any physical danger to us. And yet, I can find myself so afraid to experience it. There are moments where maybe I need to stand up for righteousness, but I don't. And there's a bunch of reasons, because I don't want to set off a firestorm on Facebook about this. I don't want the Facebook drama. I don't want to lose followers on Instagram. I want to make sure to keep myself available to have relationships with certain groups of people, and so on and so on and so on. And yet, I have to ask myself, am I willing to reorient my life towards God's reign and God's rule, whatever may come? There's a pastor that I listened to and learned so much from, and he paraphrased the Beatitudes into what he called American. And for this passage, here's what he said. I just love the way he thinks about this. He says, blessed are all the Christians in a post-Christian culture that is hostile to all they believe. Even though they are made fun of, looked down on as stupid and mean and behind the times, they get to share in the cross-shaped life of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Finally, Jesus says this in verses 11 and 12, "You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus says, expect to be insulted and mocked and lied about and to have your reputation trashed. Expect to be labeled as a bigot, as archaic, as intolerant, as homophobic, and as small-minded. Hear me. It is vital that we truly allow Jesus and the scriptures to form us, because when that happens, those things won't actually be true of you. But expect to be labeled those things and more. And when it happens, Makarios, congratulations, rejoice, because you have so allowed the kingdom of God to shape your life that it has become your primary concern, not your reputation in the world. And that means that you are experiencing God's presence to such a degree that it will feel like a reward when they say this about you. With this persecution and insults in view, Jesus says your reward is great in heaven. And we get to experience that reward in part now, as we experience the presence of God in our lives today. And ultimately, we will experience fully experience the reward for persecution and suffering when God's kingdom comes in its fullness. When the pains and sorrows of this earth pass away and we experience God's presence in its fullness, which is something the Bible calls heaven. Expect to be insulted, persecuted, and lied about because of your commitment to live your life as a kingdom-ready disciple. It happened to the prophets who paved the way for Jesus. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, and it happens to his disciples today. Before I close and pray for us, I want to read Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of this section of the Sermon on the Mount from The Message. And a wise preacher will know that they should read Peterson at the end of a sermon, because there's really nowhere to go from here but to pray. Here's what Eugene Peterson says in The Message. "You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. How good is that?" Makarios, congratulations if these things are true of you, because that means you have been living as a kingdom-ready disciple, and that means that God is at work through the power of the Holy Spirit, transforming you into the image and character of Jesus. Would you pray with me as we close? Jesus, I pray that you would help us. Would you help us to be peacemakers? Reveal to us places in our lives, in our relationships, and in this world that are lacking shalom, Jesus. And help us to become the kind of kingdom-ready disciples that work to create shalom in the world around us, remembering that when we create shalom, we are reflecting your character to a broken, shalom-less world. Help us to live such kingdom-ready lives that we look different than the world around us and expect a certain level of persecution. I pray that we would not shrink back from kingdom-ready lives, but instead would we fully pursue you and your kingdom in our lives and on this earth, regardless of the cost. Help us to learn what it means to rejoice in our persecution and being labeled and lied about. Not that we enjoy these things, But because when those things happen, we experience what you experienced, Jesus. And we receive the reward of the presence of God, both in these moments now and ultimately in eternity. Teach us to be kingdom-ready disciples, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being with us today online, especially if this was your first time visiting us. Also, I want to congratulate you if you made a decision to accept Christ. We've had several people make commitments for Jesus in this season, which is so exciting, and know that we are praying for you. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or text Decision to the number 52855. And don't forget to follow us and stay in the know with our Christian Assembly socials and Christian Assembly LA app. Use our daily reading plan in the app to continue to make God's Word a regular part of your life. And now let me close with this benediction from Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. See you next time.